Lord, we just come before your throne room, Lord, just thanking you this morning, Lord, that we are able to sing these songs of praise to you, Lord. Even though, you know, we sang them as in Vacation Bible School, we sang them as children, Lord, they are as relevant today as they are the day whenever we were young singing them, Lord, because we will worship you because of who you are, Lord. We will follow your word, Lord. We will love everyone, Lord. Lord, and we just ask that you just bless this time together, Lord, that you will just lift us up, Lord, and draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, as I was thinking this week, and this is June 1st, and what we, or I, associate with June is a few things. One is it's Abby's birthday. It's Riley's birthday. It's mine and Crystal's anniversary. But it's also church camp. And church camp, if who in here has ever been to church camp? Come on. Ever been to church camp? Okay, I've seen some hands that did not go up, that have not go to church camp. You need to experience church camp. So adults, guess what? You can go with sponsors. Amen. Amen. So everyone needs to experience church camp. And at church camp, but not only at church camp, we have an encounter with God. Folks, and that's what we all need in our life is an encounter with God. And God's encounter, when we meet God, or I always say, when we meet God, we will never leave the same as when we got there. We will always be different. And David shows this in the psalm, you know, where he had an encounter with God, and it encouraged him, and it led him to do something. And I would ask for us today that we do something with what God has given us. We do something because we had an encounter with the living God, the one who has all power, who has all majesty, who has everything, this strong right hand, that we have an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the ones who created us. When we have an encounter with Him, it should do something within our lives. And I desire that that happens to me, but I also desire that that happens to you. And every one of us should desire to have an encounter with God. If we are His children, we have already had an encounter with Him. But I want to have an encounter each and every day with God. I want to wake up and I want to talk to Him. And I want Him to talk to me. And I want to have that relationship with Him that means something greater than anything in our lives. Do you desire to have an encounter with God this morning? And I say God, what do I mean? Man, God is in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man, I don't care who you call it, which one you call it, I want to have an encounter this morning. The Holy Spirit is desiring to have an encounter with you this morning to lead you to Jesus. Jesus is wanting to have an encounter with you this morning that leads you to the Father. Man, God desires for us to have a relationship with Him, an encounter. Have you ever had an encounter with someone that was maybe that you look up to, that you don't get to meet very often? Boy, you meet that person and you think, man, that was just an awesome experience to get to meet that person. But I tell you, the people that we meet here on this earth is nothing compared to meeting with Jesus, to having an encounter with Him. We were at Winter Jam. The girls are going to get mad at me again on this. We were at Winter Jam the year before last. The year before. And I was coming out of this youth pastor's thing and pastor's little meeting that they had before it. And I walked out in the hall. Look, they know what I'm going to say. I walked out in the hall, and there was a gentleman standing there that I recognized. Did he know me? No. But guess what? After I left there, he knew who I was. His name was Lecrae. And people in here looked like, who in the world is Lecrae? But I'll introduce you to him one day. But Lecrae, well, his music, not him. He's not going to come here. But well, I say that. But I had an encounter and I met Lecrae. He is a Christian artist. And he and we sat there and we just talked. When nothing, you know, special. It wasn't something that, you know, I was like, you know, it was, we talked. And I believe that's what God desires of us today, is God wants to talk to us. He desires to have that relationship with us. So I got back to the seat and I said, guess who I just seen? I just met Lecrae. And they go, what? We want to meet him. We wanted all this stuff. They got mad at me. Well, I don't think they really got mad at me. But it was just that experience that I had an encounter. But I will tell you that the best encounter that I ever had was in June of 1990 when I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I left that place, and I was no longer the same person that I was whenever I got to that place, because he saved my soul. He forgave me of my sins, and he covered me with his blood. And now, you know, whenever I pass over, whenever I die, you know what the death angel's going to do? He's going to pass right over, and I'm going to go be with Jesus. Because I had an encounter with him. And I desire and I hope that everyone in here that is sitting under the sound of my voice that has had an encounter with the Lord this morning. Because it is important. But not just for salvation, which is a great thing, but there's so much more. A lot of the kids that come to church camp know Jesus Christ. But sometimes we drift away. And we need to have a fresh encounter with God that leads us to be in a closer, intimate relationship with Him. And it should cause something inside of us to be lit, to catch on fire, to be excited because we had an encounter with God. From what it seems like in my own life, I have experienced this and seen in others' lives that people are satisfied with just the one encounter with God and they're satisfied. I don't want to be satisfied with just that one encounter with Him. I want to have an encounter on a daily basis. So if you will turn to Psalm 63, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 63. Every time I typed it this week, whenever I was trying to do something, I would put down 36. And I would look at the first and say, that ain't right. And I'd have to go back and change them letter or change the numbers around. But it's Psalm 63. 1-3. And just listen to this, that this David has had an encounter with God. And what does he say? Oh God, you are my God. You are not some distant God. You are my God. It's personal to David, and I pray that it's personal to you also. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness, your chesed, your mercy, your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Boy, David had an encounter with God, and it did something to him. It caused him to be different than whenever he got there. Folks, Paul or David, I'm about to slow down a little bit, getting excited. David, you know, in his struggles in life, he was still called a man after God's own heart. Was David perfect?
No.
By no means. Are we perfect? No, by no means. But God still desires to meet with us on a daily basis. We should be yearning for God's presence within our lives. That should be something that we look at and have a deep desire to worship Him, a deep desire to have that intimate relationship with Him. Could you go one slide forward? We should have that deep desire, you know, to be closer to Him. What did David say here? Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. He doesn't wait till the evening time to meet with God, to have that encounter. He does it early in the morning. I will tell you, the best time to start meeting with God is when you get up. Start meeting with God. And I'd say start, not meet with God that one time, but that's when we start meeting with God. And it should cause a deep desire within us, because if we love the Lord, we desire to be with Him. If you love someone in an intimate way, you desire to be around them. You desire to spend time with them. And that's the same way with God, that David said, early in the morning I seek you. I look for you in the morning. I wake up and I look to have that relationship. I look to have that talk. I look to have that time alone with you. And that's what we should do on a daily basis. And does mornings get chaotic sometimes? Yes. But we have to slow down and say, God, I want to spend time with you. God, I can wake up 15 minutes earlier to spend some time with you. I can wake up in the morning and have that time of speaking with Him, of listening to Him, or we would say, you know, communicating with Him. Because communication is not one way. It's no longer communication whenever it's one way. Communication is back and forth. I talk to Him, and guess what He does? He talks with us. And you say, well, I haven't heard from God. It might be you need to spend a little more quiet time with Him. Because the closer you are to God, the louder He is to your heart. And we as Christians, and in this world, we get busy. And we no longer thirst for spiritual fulfillment. We thirst for the things of this world. It's kind of like water. What should we thirst for? We should thirst for water. But what do we say? Well, you know, water, you know, I just don't really like water that much. I would rather have a Coke or a Dr. Pepper or a Mountain Dew or something like that, when our body is telling us that we need what? Mountain Dew? No. Coke? No. Dr. Pepper? No. It's telling us that we need water. And that's what we need to do in our lives. We start looking and say, well, I know I need water, but I'm going to open this can or this bottle of Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew instead. Do we think it's better for us? Do we think it's good for us? No, we know better in our minds. But we do it anyway. I believe that's the same way with our relationship with God. We know as Christians that have been brought up in church, that have been brought up in a Christian family, that we know that we should spend time with God. We should partake of His living water. But we decide to go get something else. And that's something we need to slow down and think, like, what do we need to do? We need to spend time with Him. We need to have that deep desire of thirsting for spiritual fulfillment within our lives. And the world tries in every way to pull you away from that. That's why, you know, as we talk about church camp and actually Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, that it's a time that we can get concentrated on the Lord. So is Sunday morning going to be everything I need for the week? By no means. Sunday gets to be a time that we get to spend with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we get to rekindle the fire that is inside of us. And we get to grow, and that fire starts to get larger, and it starts to grow, and we start looking at it like, man, I can feel God's presence. And then here comes Monday, and we just go less and less and less. So we need to wake up and desire, thirst for spiritual fulfillment. We need to long for that intimacy with God in our lives. And that's what, you know, David was showing here. Oh Lord, you are my God. I seek you early in the morning. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh longs for you in this dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Do we feel that in our world today, in our country? That we live in a dry and thirsty land? That we are parched? Our thirst is parched because of this world that we live in. But the thing that we know is all we have to do is get alone with the Lord to be refreshed. You ever been out mowing your yard or working in your garden or working on your job? Boy, you're just parched. Boy, you're just, your mouth is dried out. You just have nothing left. And man, someone brings you a bottle of water, or you go to your vehicle and get a bottle of water, and you get that and you drink it. Won't it just kind of like, oh. That's what God does for us. Because we have an encounter with Him. We long for intimacy with Him. We seek after Him in that solitude, you know, finding quiet moments to connect with God. And that's what starts in early in the morning. But we can find times throughout the day to connect with God, to find them quiet moments in our life where we said, Lord, I need a word from you. I need that. And I know you need that also. Whenever we are making time in prayer for prayer and worship. Prioritizing, you know, what are your priorities within your life? If you want to allow the world to take you away, if you want to allow the world to take control of you, it will. Being a Christian, being someone who loves the Lord, who has a relationship with Him, it's going to take time, it's going to take priorities within your life to do that. It's not just going to happen because we do have the Spirit of God living in us, but we do also have the flesh of God, or the flesh that we have to live in. So which one is controlling you? If we just leave it up to just circumstances, the flesh is going to control us. We have to leave it up to the Spirit. God, I need to hear a fresh word from you this morning that will help guide me and direct me within my life, that will help bring me closer to you. And guess what we will have? We will have that deep, intimate relationship where we are prioritizing our time in prayer and worship for Him. Well, Brother Jimmy, I just spent about 20 minutes, 25 minutes in worship here this morning. Ain't that enough for the week? No, it is not. And I will tell you, not wanting to be hard, but God's word is hard sometimes, that if that's all the worship you think you're spending, you're not spending any time at worship. You're just here to put on a show. Worship starts in our quiet time. Worship starts whenever we are reading God's word, whenever we are praying, whenever we are listening to Him. And that will help us to grow. Do you want to feel like God's presence is in your life? Prioritize your time to make it important to you. Because as we all know, what's most important to you is what you're going to find the time to do. What's the most important to you, that's what you're going to find your time to do. How important is God to you? We can go and we can look at our daily calendars, we can look at our bank accounts, and we can look at all of these things and we can see how important God is to us. So let us prioritize our time. Said, well, I hadn't been prioritizing my time like I should. Guess what? Today is a new day. Today is a day that God will say, come to me today. You wake up in the morning. You say, God, I want to have an encounter with you. But I have not had an encounter with you in a while. Guess what God desires? He desires for you to have that encounter and that you have that special relationship with Him that helps you grow. And guess what? He won't say, well, you know, I wish you would have done it yesterday. He's not going to tell you that. He's going to say, come on. I want to have that relationship with you. And in doing that, you know, in recognizing and having an encounter with God, we recognize, number two, we recognize God's power. That word power, you know, in the Greek, is the same word that we get our word dynamite from. It has great power. And I was listening to a sermon yesterday on my way home, or Friday on my way home from Little Rock, by Brother Tyler. He's out of Tennessee, Eastern Tennessee over there. Some of y'all might have listened to him before, but he was talking about this, and I was actually listening to a story, not anything to do with Christians, but a story a while back under one of my little podcast things I listened to, the Ballin guy, some of this true crime stuff. And he was talking about a guy, Mr. Ballin, about a guy that was one that helped clear paths through rock. He was more or less the one who worked with the dynamite. And he had what he called was a stick that you more or less put the dynamite in and you pushed it down with that stick and you pressed that dynamite down there and then you lit the fuse. And then his brother Tyler was talking Thursday or Friday evening about this, whenever he was coming home, he was talking about, you know, that's the same way that God's power reflects within us, is the same way that that power reflects within that rock, is you put that piece of dynamite in there and you light the fuse. And that dynamite just doesn't go off just like that, does it? Takes a little while, don't it? Because we as Christians, we're in the society, or we as Christians today are in society, we want it now. That's how I am. I want it now. I don't have much patience. Sometimes God says, wait. And you light that fuse and you're waiting. You say, well, God ain't going to do nothing. I don't guess He's going to do nothing. Then all of a sudden, boom. That power that was harnessed in that small piece of dynamite explodes and it tears that rock apart. That is how the power of God works in our life. But when God puts a piece of dynamite in us, His power in us, and we have all these struggles, we have all these things that are going on within our lives, and we have to wait sometimes because God's working in the background trying to do things, you know, and whenever that gets, or whenever the fire gets to that piece of dynamite, all them things in our life just explode and a new path goes forward. And who's at the end of that new path? It is God. I kind of changed the story a little bit there, but it's something in our lives that we need to figure out, you know, that we have the power inside of us, that we aren't weak Christians. We aren't people that look in our lives and say, man, y'all have no power. You have nothing in your life. Man, I have the power of God living within me, and I can do all things through Him because of His power. We need to reflect on God's majesty in creation, acknowledge His glory, remembering past encounters and miracles that God has done. What's the easiest thing to see in our lives? What has happened behind us? What has happened in the past? We need to look in our lives and we need to recognize that God is still working. It's sometimes in the background because we are in the background because we can't see it. But He's working to do things that are going to glorify Himself through what we do. So we need to remember them past encounters and the miracles, the things that God has done in our life, how He has shown His power. It may have been something that we was not able to do, that we was not, or we didn't think we were able to do. That kind of goes back to what we've been reading on the book of Moses in the book of Exodus, you know, where Moses just did not think he could do anything. We hadn't quite got there yet. But Moses didn't think he could go to the Pharaoh and speak. Because he had a stutter. He couldn't speak well. But God was working. God was doing something. And God had things orchestrated to work out the way that God wanted them to work out. And that's how it is in our lives. Just trust Him. Just have faith in God. Man, pray and leave it up to God. I love that what Charles Stanley says, and I don't know if it's something that he came up with or if it's something that he just says and got from someone else. I don't know, but Charles Stanley says, You do what God has told you and leave all the consequences up to Him. You just do what God tells you to. Is that difficult? It's sometimes difficult in our lives because I like to know what's going to happen in the future. I want to know how things are going to turn out, and sometimes we don't know how things are going to turn out. We just have to trust Him. We need to experience His faithfulness. And His faithfulness, and we talked about it, you know, we mentioned it in that next verse, verse 32, about His loving kindness. And one of my Hebrew professor at college, he harped on this word, chesed, loving kindness. It's God's faithfulness to us. His loving kindness. And I love that word, loving kindness. You know, we kind of understand that in a sense that He loved us so much. He had so much kindness upon us that He sent His Son to die on a cross so that we could have eternal life. But I also would tell you that He desires that we have chesed also, that we are faithful to Him. But I tell you, when you have an encounter with God, you're going to be faithful to Him. You're not going to leave there the same way that you got there. We need to experience that in trusting in God's promises in our lives and sharing testimonies of His goodness. Have you ever heard any testimonies of His goodness? Well, I have. Man, how God was just good. How God did great things. And sometimes we are going through things in our life and someone, and it may be something that someone else is going through in their lives. You know, and we've done, went through that, and we tell our testimony about how God brought us through. And guess what it does? It brings someone else encouragement. Man, if they can get through this with the Lord's help, I can get through this with the Lord's help. We need to trust in His promises. God has promised us that He will never leave us or He will never fake us. And last time I checked, God never goes back on His promises. Sometimes it looks hard. Sometimes the future or the period in which we're in looks grim. But we have to go back to them promises. Hey, He saved my soul. He's going to take me to heaven. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. And He's going to always be with me. And I pray that you experience that in your life, and you will if we will open our eyes. Because we live a lot like, I've seen this and we've had them, you know, you put old mule in, you know, in the, you know, in there, get up to pull the plow and all this stuff, you know, and what do they have on? They have on blinders. Because what if a mule get, what will it do? It'll get distracted on what's going on around it. And all it sees is right here in front of us. But I think we got blinders on a lot of times. All we're seeing is right here in front of us. But God's working over here. And God's working over here. But we're only looking right here. Well, why can't I see Him? Because we need to open our eyes. And we need to trust in Him for what He has said in His Word. And whenever we do that, it will bring us great joy, great peace. And whenever we have them things, folks, it just makes a difference. What did David say in verse 2 here that we just talked about? I have looked for you in the sanctuary. To you, or to see your power and your glory. That glory, that word, and I heard this the other day, that the one of our best words to describe the glory of God that are in our terms is majesty, or just miracle, or just magnificence, you know, is the way that we can describe the Lord, because I tell you, the Greek words and the Hebrew words, sometimes we don't have words in our own dialect that will actually show what them words truly mean. We sell it short a lot of time on what they're trying to do or trying to say within the passage. If we study the Old or the Greek and the Hebrew. Because we have one word that can mean a lot of different things. And they have one word and they put it in grammar and they put it in placement within the sentence in the Greek and all this. And it shows where the emphasis is within it. If you see the word power at the beginning of the sentence, you better watch out. Because that, you better look up and look, why is that at the beginning of the sentence in the Greek? And I know we in the United, or we here in the U.S., we think, man, the Greek has all these run-on sentences and all this stuff. And man, why is this sentence 5 lines long? It's because it is emphasizing. It's all an emphasis of what God is doing, what He has done. You've got to remember that this is translated from the language that these gentlemen, you know, the apostles wrote in and the language that we read in. That's why we have to study it. And we have to get all the nuances and all the, you know, the power out of it. What they call exegesis. You know, and whenever we look at these verses and we think, man, God is doing great things within our lives, I just missed it. Look at it. Do you have to know how to read Greek and how to read Hebrew? I hope not, because I took both of them, and I tell you, I did all right in Greek, but Hebrew was, whoo. But I can't sit up here and read Greek. But I tell you, I know men in commentaries that I trust that I can read, that they can, they will show all the nouns and the direct objects and the indirect objects and all that stuff. You know, they show all this stuff and how all this stuff fits together. That's why I like Brother David Allen, you know, from Southwestern. He does a good job in all that. But we share in testimonies of His goodness. Don't keep God to yourself. Don't keep His goodness to yourself. Tell people about the goodness of God. Tell people about what God has done within your life. And God will bless you, and it will bless someone else. I had a sermon I wrote, it's been years ago, kind of off of a letter that I received from a person, and the title was, "You Were the Answer to My Prayers." And I don't remember if I've told this about this story here, which I probably did years ago, but it was actually a lady that I worked with. Her husband was a firefighter, and he wrote this letter to me telling me about an experience, an encounter with God that he had. An encounter with God can come in a few different ways. And in this story, he told that him and another guy were driving down some back roads, and they were bird hunting. And as they were driving down this road, they looked, and they had been down this road numerous times, but they looked at a word, or at the road, and they said, "I've never noticed that road before. I think I'll go down that road, and we'll see if there's any birds down there." I can't remember if they were quail hunting or what, which one it was. This has been 15 years ago. And he said they were driving down that road and they started seeing some smoke. And here goes a firefighter. He can relate to some of this. He said they started driving down the road and they seen some smoke. And they said, "What in the world there be smoke out here in the middle of nowhere for?" And they kept driving and they came upon this house. And there was smoke coming from the back yard or the back part of this house. And it was just barreling up. I mean, it was smoke going everywhere. And they got out. And there was two kids sitting on the front porch. And they ran to the back of the house, and the mama was sitting exhausted, black, you know, from soot, laying up against the tree, just wore out. And she said, "I was trying to fight the fire." And you got to realize who came to this fire. I mentioned the one man was a firefighter, but you know what his buddy was? He was one of his buddies from the fire department. So they cut off some pine, you know, some pine bushes, and they went out and they got that fire out. It was right up against the house. They got it out. And they came back to that woman to try to care for her, and she says, I've been praying that God would send someone to help. And God did not just send two yahoos out there to help. God sent two firemen to help this woman. And she had been praying, sitting up against that tree, all worn out, could not do anything else, trying to save her house and her children, and they showed up. And in this letter that he wrote me, he said that that made an impact on him that day. That he would never forget. That he shouldn't have ever went down that road. He was looking, they were looking for something else. But God moved them. They had an encounter with God on that day that changed his life. But not only his, it changed that mama's life that was sitting up against that tree that was worn, slap out, trying to fight that fire. Because God's encounters changes more than just you. It changes everyone around you. So we as Christians, we need to make sure that we are listening to God. Because God has something for us, and we have to be obedient to follow what He has asked us to do. And when we do this, I couldn't imagine. I can't remember how his letter actually ended, but I could imagine. This is my mind thinking how I would be responding in worship. Responding in worship, offering praise to the Lord. What does he say in verse 3? It says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Because your loving kindness, because of your chesed, because of that loving kindness, that mercy, that grace, that goodness that is within you is better than life itself, I will praise you. So we experiencing, or we should be experiencing gratitude through songs and prayer. Do you have to be here on Sunday morning to sing? No, I sing going down the road. I sing, you know, in the shower. I sing, you know, whenever we're in a quiet place. You just get something in your head that God has put there, you know, a song, and it's speaking to you in your heart, you know, and it just does something. It is worship to God because it's not for me. I'm thanking Him. I'm praising Him. I'm honoring Him for what He has done within my life. So we experience that gratitude through our songs and prayer. Living a life of worship in daily actions. There's a gentleman I know, a lot of y'all know him, that one thing he's going to do is he's going to praise the Lord wherever he's at, and that's Tommy King. He don't care who's around him, what's going on, He's going to praise the Lord in all of these daily actions within his life. He's going to give God the glory right then, right there. And that's what we should do. And I'm not saying we have to be like Tommy. God made Tommy, Tommy. But we do have the opportunity to worship Him, to thank the Lord for what He has done in our daily actions of what He is doing within our lives. Because in everything, we are to do what? To give praise to the Lord. We need to commit to fellowship, aligning our lives with His will, and engaging in service and ministry as a response to the encounter we have. We are not to live out on a boat in the middle of an ocean with God. We are to be with people. He's created us for family. That's what He's created us for. We need each other. I need you. I need you. And that's the way God has designed it to be. You know, I told a story a while back about that same situation, about the coal of fire that they took out of the fire and put over on the hearth, and what started happening to that fire or that piece of coal? It started going out. Getting lighter and lighter and lighter. We're not made to be on an island alone. We are made to be in fellowship with our other brothers and sisters in Christ. So make it, as we looked at earlier, make it a priority in your life to worship God, to pray, to sing praises to Him, to do the things that God has asked us to do in His Word. I'm not asking you to do things that Brother Jimmy has said that we need to do or that you need to do. I'm telling you to go to God's Word and do what God's Word tells you to do. Or let me rephrase that, tells us to do. Because it's God's Word that matters. It don't matter a hill of beans what I say up here. What matters is what God's Word says. Are we in God's Word? Are we looking at it in our lives and thanking Him for all that He has done for us? Oh God, Jordan, put that back to the verses. Oh God, You are my God. Early I will seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Let's thank Him for all that He has done for us. And let's have an encounter with Jesus in our lives, folks, and it will make a difference in your daily life. If you have never experienced church camp, what I would like to do, but it would take up so much memory and it'd be hard to do all of it, is tape every bit of church camp from Monday when we get there till Friday when we leave. Tape every aspect, everything of it, and you see that aren't able to go, you see the experience of how God encounters people. But it doesn't have to be at church camp. It doesn't have to be at a women's retreat. It doesn't have to be at a men's retreat. It can happen right here, right now. It can happen on Tuesday in the morning whenever you wake up and you have your quiet time with the Lord. You can have an encounter with God at any time, in any place, by just surrendering to Him and saying, Lord, take control of my life. And He will. If we're serious about it and we're committed to Him, folks, we can have that encounter. Let's all stand this morning as we have a song of invitation. Just thanking the Lord and worshiping Him and desiring to have an encounter. You may have an encounter with the Lord right here, right now, this morning, and you just want to come bow at His altar and just thank Him for all that He is and all that He has done for you within your life. You ain't got to come talk to me. You ain't got to go talk to anybody else. You can come and you can lay at this altar, bend your knee, and thank Him for what He has done for you. What has the Lord done for you today? Lord, thank You for Your loving kindness. Thank You for Your faithfulness this morning in our lives. Lord, and I just ask that we have an encounter with You that is like no other encounter that we have ever experienced. That You will do great and mighty things within our lives, Lord. And we will give You all the honor, the glory, and praise in our lives. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.